Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever you're listening. I want to congratulate you on taking steps towards bettering yourself, educating yourself. This is Mortgage Mindset. My name is Hunter Boyd, Director of Sales for the Sherry Riano team. Today we are joined by Director of Operations, Chris Brazell. What's going on, Chris?
Greetings, everybody. Hope you're doing well.
Doing good, man. Doing good. Hey, look, we're excited today. We're going to be continuing our non-QM series. We're going to be talking about bank statement loans. Chris, why don't you do just a soft intro? What is a bank statement loan? Who's eligible for it? Kind of go into that.
Absolutely. So these loans are geared towards our self-employed borrowers. And what they are is we all know there's tax breaks out there to write off expenses and things like that to lessen your tax burden when you do file your taxes at the end of the year on your Schedule C. And so, you know, take advantage of those tax breaks, write off all your expenses to minimize your tax burden, to show, you know, as little net income as possible. And then what we do is we don't even look at tax returns for income qualification. We're literally going to use your bank statements and use that information to qualify you. That way you can, you know, kind of have your cake and eat it too, so to speak, where you do minimize your tax burden by writing off your expenses and still get qualified for a mortgage based on the income coming in, based on deposits into your bank account.
Okay. So we do want to start this podcast as well by stating, hey, look, this is a non-QM loan. These investors, they house their own loans. They can change their guidelines literally overnight. So before you ever place an offer with a bank statement loan, we encourage you, whether it's Sherry Riano team or another, reach out to your lender. Make sure that the loan structure that that loan officer had that client set up in is currently still available. We just really want to push that with these products just because things can change so quickly. So let's get into a little bit of the meat of this. Chris, kind of give us some highlights of this program, just loan options, loan amounts, LTV, credit score. Just let's go in, man.
Yep. So with this program, you can go as low as 640 credit, which is great. So it does have a lot of flexibility in the credit scores. You can do as little as 10% down, which is also great. So this does work for primary residence, second homes, investment properties. The use of the home can be all three of those as well. And so the cool thing too is you 2-year history as far as us being self-employed, but we also have an option now that just rolled out recently with as little as 1-year self-employed history. Now we will need business bank statements for that particular one.
Yep.
But as little as 1 year being self-employed, and we can use those 12 months of business bank statements and get the average deposits that you get, and that's going to be your qualifying income.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So it is a 30-year fixed. It does also have an option with a 40-year interest only. So again, lower those payments, get you in the house. So there's a lot of variable options on this particular program, which is great.
So talk about the 40-year interest only just a little bit there. What does that monthly payment structure look like for a client? What does that mean to someone that's maybe considering that as an option?
Sure. So the amortization is stretched out over 40 years versus your typical 30-year. That's going to lower your payment. And then with it being interest only as well, it's going to lower your payment even more. That's going to help your qualification for clients that need a little bit more flexibility with the debt to income ratios based on those deposits. So it's a, you know, it's not a permanent loan, even though it is a 40-year term on this. Since it's interest only, it's just a tool to get you in the house. You know, we're going to eventually want to get you into a different loan program, or you're going to want to make those principal payments on your own outside of the normal minimum monthly payment on the mortgage, just to work towards paying down that loan balance. But it gets you in the house, start gaining appreciation on the house. So you're going to, it's a win-win no matter what. It's just, it's one of those tools with a lot of flexibility to get people in a house that may not have enough deposits to qualify on a normal, fully amortized 30-year payment.
That's good. And I think that's also really helpful because when you talk about non-QM loans, you're not getting, you know, traditional market rates out there. You know, correct. You're not going to get the whatever's available for conventional or FHA. You know, you're going to have a little bit higher price, and that's because the investor that's housing that loan, in addition to housing it and making their own rules, they also determine their own interest rates. I think that's important to remember, especially when talking about like a 40-year interest only option there, you're going to pay a little bit higher interest rate, but that monthly payment is still most likely going to be lower because it's not amortized over a 30-year period.
That's correct. Yeah, you don't want to compare these to, you know, normal conforming rates right now. So if you hear about where interest rates are right now on all of these non-QM products, when you start layering the risk layers, like layering it as a bank statement loan, only doing 12 months maybe instead of 24, layering on the 40-year interest only, things like that, it is going to bump the rate up. But again, it's just if somebody who couldn't get into a loan before, couldn't qualify, you know, they may not be upset with the higher interest rate because it still gets them in a house without having to show, you know, that income on a tax returns for two straight years on a normal conforming loan.
Yep. Now, we pride ourselves on our speed, our availability, especially on like things like weekends and stuff. If I've got a client, you know, I'm an agent, I'm bringing a client to get pre-qualified with us, what's my expectation for timelines on stuff like this? You know, is this something that can happen on a Sunday afternoon? Is there a little bit more prep work? What's your understanding of that?
Yeah, that's a great question because like you said, we typically move pretty fast. You know, an application comes in, we usually knock it out in about an hour, to be honest with you.
Yep.
On these loans though, we need a little bit more time up front. So the reason for that is we do have to take the business bank statements or the personal bank statements, whether it be 12 or 24 months again, and send those statements directly to the investor. How that works is we send it to the investor comes back and says what the qualifying income is based on the deposits they see, and then we know what we can get you qualified for based on the interest rate, the structure of the loan, and what the investor says they have verified in deposits in those statements. And so on these, it's more like a 48-hour turn time with initial pre-qualification once we have received all the bank statements. And so we do need the full 12 months or 24 months. And again, whichever is better for you. If you can give the 24 months, it's going to give you a little bit better of an interest rate than just the 12 months.
Why is that?
Just because it's showing more consistency on the deposits.
Okay.
And so when you're stretching it out over those 2 years, it just shows that, hey, you have been in business, you know, 2+ years as a self-employed borrower, and you consistently have those deposits going into your bank statement. So it's just a little strengthening factor, which gets you access to a slightly better pricing than just a 12-month. But once you get those statements to us, though, we upload them through the portal directly to the investor. And then again, it takes about 24 to 48 hours for the investor to review and spit back what they deem as the qualifying income that we can use on that loan. And then we can back into what we can qualify the clients for as far as max loan amount and things like that. And then we know what they can start going to look for houses for.
All right, so talking about timelines here, mm-hmm. If an agent is writing up a contract, you know, they're using the Sherry-Rion team offer letter, they're not getting anything, it's not going to say anything other than, you know, a traditional offer to purchase, that kind of thing. What's a good expectation for a closing period on one of these loans? Is this a quick turn? Is this a little bit longer? Are we talking USDA, VA, in worst case scenario? Where are we at?
Yeah, I would say minimum 30 days, but more likely closer to the 45-day. Just anytime we deal with these non-QM loans, where we have to go directly to the investor, a little bit of the power that we wield is outside of our normal turn times, because with all other loans, conforming, FHA, you know, the normal, you know, bread and butter loans that we do 99% of the time, we do everything in-house. On these, we do have to get the investor's ultimate approval on these loans because it is something that they're going to portfolio, so they have to put their seal of approval on it. And so with that, anytime we're dealing with anybody that's outside of our office, so to speak, we want to build in a little bit of extra time in there because not everybody moves as fast as we do, unfortunately. And so we have to build that in. And also a little bit more due diligence is done up front to make sure that we have the loan structure properly based on the qualifying income on those statements and things like that. So just give us a little bit more time, a little bit more breathing room on these types of loans. And I would say that that's across the board on all of our non-QM products, just to give us a little bit of breathing room with the investor.
That's it. That's it. If you feel like there's a situation where you may lose a deal if you don't give a 30-day, talk to us, let us know. That at least gives us an idea of like, okay, as soon as we get this contract, we have to hit the ground running immediately. We always want to do that, but we also want to relay that information to the investor as well. What I love about this as well, there's an income cap, but in the triangle market, there's a loan cap. loans are up to $3 million.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. I mean, for most homes in the area, that's going to be captured in that. We do need a minimum of $150,000 loan amount. That's an investor overlay. It's not anything that we control. The investor just kind of says, look, in order for us to make money on this, in order for this to be a profitable loan, they need to be at least $150,000. If you've got a loan amount over $1.5 million, kind of the way with other loan types as well, like conventional stuff, if you have million plus loans, you're generally going to need a second appraisal or a CDA done just to kind of confirm, hey, look, here's multiple sources confirming that value. Still an incredible product for us. Very excited. It's closely related to the 1099 loan options that we have as well for our 1099 employees. However, this can be a little bit more of a tax break, you know, maybe a little bit more beneficial for the self-employed buyers if, you know, they're filing their taxes a certain way.
Right. Yeah. So if we get a 1099, obviously that's all gross income right there. And so we do use an expense factor. And what that means is that we take the 1099 or the gross income on deposits on the bank statements, and they do factor in a little bit of expenses. But if you're in a job that doesn't take a lot of expenses, like, for example, one of the most recent ones we did was with somebody who was a nail technician.
Yep.
And so she, you know, she worked out of somebody's office, but she had her own clientele, her own book of business, so to speak. And so there weren't a lot of expenses in that. And so we had her CPA write up a letter saying that she has minimum expenses. And with that, we were able to use most of the gross deposits that she had going into her bank account, and we were able to get her into a house. So little things like that, we can work with these because of the fact that these are portfolio loans with our investor. They're very willing to listen to us. And what I mean by that is a lot of common sense. Each one of these is going to be a little bit different. So if we work together on this, you know, and find ways to get it done, you know, our investor's job, just like our job and everybody else's job, is to get people into houses. So they're willing to listen to us.
This is also, real quick, this is also one of the few loan types where a profit and loss statement can actually help. Yes. In most cases, a profit and loss statement is really just a piece of paper in the file, unless it hurts the file. It can't ever really help anything. It can only hurt the loan. In a bank statement loan, a profit and loss statement is actually a valid form of income verification. So it can actually provide strength for the file to get closed, which is always great.
Yes. And so when you show a P&L statement, like Hunter said, you know, a lot of times it's not worth the paper it's written on because you can change anything up until the point you file your taxes. But yeah,
it's a Google Doc.
Yeah, it's exactly. So a strong P&L though will help support those deposits going into your bank statement, and will show, hey, yeah, this person is grossing a lot of income on their particular job. And so it will help them with the income verification.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Chris, for being here today. I appreciate it. Look, if you're enjoying this content, if this is helpful or beneficial for you, if you're learning things, hit that like, hit that follow, hit that subscribe. You know, we want to be here to help you get more deals, close more loans. The more education, the more products you know that's out there, the more people that you can help bring to the closing table. This has been Mortgage Mindset. We'll see you next Wednesday. The Mortgage Mindset podcast is hosted by the Sherry Riona team at Clear Mortgage, powered by City First Mortgage Services, LLC. Sherry Riona's NMLS ID is 71774. Visit us at thesherryrionateam.com for more information about our team. The opinions expressed on this show by the hosts and their guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Clear Mortgage or City First Mortgage Services. Please note that Clear Mortgage is powered by City First Mortgages, LLC, and their NMLS ID is 3117. Clear Mortgage and City First Mortgage Services is not an agency of the federal government and is not acting on behalf of or the direction of HUD FHA. City First Mortgage Services is an equal housing lender. Programs, rates, and terms subject to change without notice. Underwriting terms and conditions apply.